Hey, this is Mary Izette from Fifth Hammer Brewing. You are listening to Steal This Beer. Thanks to all of you who support this program by donating. If you would like to support this program, please go to patreon.com/stealthisbeer.
About beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday, and we are stilling beer. That cracked can was John Hall, who's in his COVID-19 quarantine hideout.
Yes.
I am in my COVID-19 quarantine hideout, and we are going to try to do a show with Chief for our anniversary by
as
dialing
promised.
Him in.
Yeah.
As promised. Hopefully this thing's smooth as silk. John Hall's never let me down in my entire life. I believe in him. But if this gets weird, bear with us. And know that none of us are in the same room, which I'm sure you guys are now getting used to as the norm.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will work better. So, Hall, why don't you dial in Chief?
All right.
Guys, I'll talk to you when you're back to me.
Okay. Let me...
Are we merged? Are we three now one?
Here. Chief, is that you, buddy?
It is. How are you doing?
Well... Okay, I have no idea how to know, so I've stopped answering that question. How are you, sir?
I've been saying, okay, not great.
But you've been saying that since you were three. I have a dream, Chief, that the miracle cure for COVID is Simcoe, and you're completely bulletproof as a result.
So far, it's worked.
All right, so here we are, guys, live at Industrial Arts with all of you in the room celebrating our fifth anniversary in this amazing style that was well planned and actually actuated by Justin Kennedy, and everything's great. How is everybody?
We had shirts. We had glasses. They're now just...
We still have those, John.
No. We sent them off. We sent them off,
John,
to be donated.
99 out of 100 times I drink with you, you have shirt and glasses.
Also true.
All right, let's start with what you're sipping on, Chief. We all had to pick our own beers for the show. What did you pick for you to drink while you were with us?
I have to break one of the cardinal rules because I only have my own beer in my house right now.
That makes me happier than anything.
I'm drinking the Simcoe laden Tools of the Trade Extra.
I heard that that's a vaccine for COVID.
We had one of your shows on recently, one of your beers on the show recently. I can't remember why or what. And it was, maybe it wasn't your beer. I can't remember, but it was Simcoe where Simcoe didn't go, but it was there nicely. Like it might've been a lager with Simcoe or something. And I was like, this is probably a Chief beer. And everybody's like, wow. I was like, because that's definitely Simcoe and that's not where Simcoe goes. I'm drinking Hunapu. I let the thieves decide. They gave me a very list. No two agreed on the same thing, but I had had an oatmeal breakfast with cinnamon, a square of dark chocolate, and two cups of coffee. So of the options, Hunapu made the most sense.
Ooh.
So that's where I'm at. I got an old, flat, super tasty, almost winey 17 Hunapu in my hand.
That's fun.
JH, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a 6.5% West Coast IPA, so it's clear, and it's called South of the Pier. It's a collaboration between Pizza Port and Coronado, and it just appeared in my beer fridge, and it called to me on this rainy afternoon. I figured I wanted some hops in my life, and didn't want the haze, so... Here we are.
I was hoping for Orval to be the answer.
You know, I looked at the bottle that was in the fridge and I thought about it and I couldn't bring myself to the heartache of knowing what it was that I was drinking, but still not being able to describe it.
Chief, had we been able to make it this year, were we in for a multiple Orval again?
You were, for sure.
Why mess with the good thing? Yeah.
We were so close to Orvalde, too. So.
Yeah. Well, they pushed Orvalde, so maybe we'll do that. Maybe when we reschedule our trip to you, we'll try to time it to the new Orvalde. Everything's been pushed. So that's one of the things I want to check in with you on. You know, one of the fests I do is yours, and you pushed it, actually, obviously, wisely, but you made that decision early. Compared to a lot of the other shit I saw the way. Not that I thought it was untimely. I saw, you know, from you, I was like, you were like, this ain't gonna happen. I was like, okay, that makes total sense. I thought it'd be a week before I heard that. How was deciding that?
It was a hard decision. It's a hard decision to make. We thought maybe we could do it out in front of the curve and encourage some other people to make similar decisions, and of course
leading by example.
It's out of our hands, right? Like,
yeah,
stuff like that is going to be on hold indefinitely, it would seem to me. So there'll be other days to drink beer for sure together.
So how's IA handling this? Are both shops still selling to go? What's
we
the plan?
We're rolling with the punches. We are selling beer to go. We're doing some deliveries to people's homes. We are trying to stay connected. And we've been met with a really great response from our customers, from our business partners. And, you know, hopefully we're able to continue to make some decisions that get us through. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been weird. This, if you forecast this, you're Chief, you're always familiar with the interesting shit. You know what a black swan event is? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is clearly a black swan event. Had you thrown at me the modeling of a black swan event, I think I'd imagine myself getting very kind of righteous indignation, like, of course, because here's the problems. But in reality, as these days roll on, all I get is more and more grateful, kind of exactly for what you're talking about, the neighborhood customers, the people that, you know, that we are actually close to, that I kind of kept telling myself for 8 years were there for us, are actually there for us and showing up and buying the, you know, and buying and not coming in and be like, why aren't you making a coffee right now? You know what I mean? They're coming in and being like, give me this now, give me Boak, give me Dub.
Yeah, totally.
You finding the same up there?
For sure. And like, that's going to be, if anything is the saving grace for us, it'll be that we have some recognizable brands that people know they can trust and reach for. And that's certainly been the feedback that we get is, you know, I need a ranch today or a Tools of the Trade today. Yeah. So glad.
I could definitely pick a Tools of the Trade
today. You know, and of course the wink, wink, nudge, nudge about being an essential business has become a running.
6,000 years going back to Nikos, says we are essential.
with our customers, it's certainly can appreciate why our governor has allowed us to continue to operate.
Your governor's kicking it. People are really responding to him.
Isn't he great?
Hang on a second. Chief, you've been on the show before. Hang on, Augie. You've been on the show before, so you know what I'm doing right now. I'm going to ask you to actually speak into your phone a little bit more clear so people can hear you.
Are you talking to me? Or
I'm talking to you, Chief.
Okay. It's my AirPods.
I'm on AirPods, too.
Yeah, yours are orange, though.
Yeah, the orange ones are clearly better. It's like how the green M&Ms help you hit better in Little League.
It's like those tips you put on a Subaru to make them louder.
The Forester? Yeah.
I don't know.
I will try to speak more clearly, John.
Thank you.
Oh, that's already it's better, Chief. You nailed it. So a while ago, so this is your fifth one of these, and we're never far from you, Chief. So
only five?
This is your fifth. This is
feels I'll like so much longer.
I'll do the math for Justin. 52 times 5 is 260.
Yeah, sure. Am I right?
Yeah. Well,
so let's say that.
Is it your fifth anniversary?
It is our fifth anniversary.
This is April 1st. Your first one aired April 1, 14.
So I mean, this 15, is my
15.
Yeah, 15. I was going to say.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to put this up on April 1.
Yep. Right.
But anyway, so one of the first press about IA opening said a thing that I kind of latched onto because I loved it as a unique perspective at the time. And they talked about you wanting to be the readily available six pack at every gas station on the New York Thruway or something like that.
In the Hudson Valley.
But you know what I mean? And I latched onto that as, you know, when everybody else's ambition was to have a line out the door and to, you know, mega release whatever it was that week. And I latched on it. And I remember you being like, well, that's not it. You know, I want to make intentional beers and do this. But that definitely was a soundbite they grabbed onto. So I've tried to avoid bringing that up because I don't want to make myself one of the people ringing a bell that doesn't need to be rung. But in this context,
that has never stopped you before.
God, I love it when you're here. I love it when you're on the show.
John, you sound horrible. John, fix whatever you were saying. But anyway, Chief, the reason I'm asking now is because everybody's adapting their business model almost every 22 minutes. But the one that seems to have the hope is the one of being the readily available six pack at takeout stores as widely as possible, except that whatever that noise was hilarious. Except that distributor involvement seems to be holding some people back. So context that for us. How is it up in the Hudson Valley? What's working? What isn't working? What have you had to adapt quickly versus what are you just delighted about that the methodology of from the beginning is paying off?
There's very little delight in any of this. You know, clearly the on-premise business is dead today. For your listeners who don't understand maybe even some of the basic economics of this, every keg throughout the supply chain, supplier, wholesaler, retailer, is unsellable today
and going bad
and spoiling, right? And the reserves behind it in the supply chain are not going to be also not going to be fresh beer. Yeah. whenever this specter is lifted. So for us, that's functionally about 35% of our business. That's just poof, gone.
Wow. You said 35?
About 35% if you count our own on-premise business. So
just for record, for carton, it's about 75%.
Yeah, so that was the point I was going to make, is a lot of smaller breweries smaller than us find themselves in sort of an inverse scenario where their main business is draft beer that they sell either directly to a customer or to a local bar or restaurant, which I would guess is what, 30% of your business, are you? 25?
Yeah, so, it's obviously 100% today, but 4 weeks ago,
sure.
Yeah, 30-35 was cans. Probably about 10% of that was on premise, you know, at carton.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny, Chief, is one of the things, no kidding, that you influenced in my decision on how I approach carton is that I wanted to make sure every beer we brewed, we brewed 30 barrels of, instead of trying to do that false, we sell out in 10 minute, you know, 15 barrel after hop loss production. And I wanted to make sure 50% of that got into the stores that were there for us so that nothing ever got too precious. And those channels that we maintained when we could have sold out in house are the only thing keeping carton alive right now.
Yeah.
And a big part of what informed that decision was you and advice you gave me along the way, which is why I'm coming back to it now. But finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's where we're at on that.
I guess what I was saying is we are I'll say lucky enough to have invested big in our cans and in our brand and in our, you know, packaging equipment and all of those things, because it allows us to run lean shifts and do the stuff we have to do to make it through this. We have beer in the pipeline, you know, ready to can rather than keg, and those are the pivots that we are having to make. So of course we're chasing cans, but you know, thankfully we are we have that business to fall back on, and a lot of, as you say, a lot of our peers are not in that position and are gonna struggle for sure.
Yeah, I'm watching a lot of guys who weren't in the stores trying to get shelf space.
Yeah.
And what's funny is sometimes I say to my guys facing them, I'm like, remind these guys that we've been on that shelf for 6 years when we didn't have to be. We expect, you know, I don't want to take a shelf away from anybody, but I don't want to lose one in this time. And that conversation from me to a guy at a store, typically, I think, you know, every month of every lifetime, except this one, gets a, who the fuck are you from the store? And this month, it really is getting a lot of know your right, you know, dance with the one that brung you reactions, which is part of the positivity I'm seeing. Like I said, if I modeled this prior, I would expect bristling where I'm shocked. There's been a lot of humanity and empathy. And
yeah. And that's the, probably the best case scenario. And like, we're seeing that too, like people really clinging to local connections and valuing them over others. Of course, we're also hearing stories about some big wholesalers, you know, shuttering more than half of their brands from availability.
Yeah.
In order to focus on some of their bigger.
Well, how are your distributors handling you? So you know, I self-distribute in Jersey, so mm-hmm. that's definitely an asset for us. But Union's not buying any of our beer right now. They don't want to try to deal with carton in New York right now. They're trying to sell whatever they have in their warehouse. I keep reading these articles about stores sales going 6,000% up for everybody getting beer to their house. And our distributors are telling us they don't know how to sell beer, which says to me they're selling the beers of the big guys that
the 30
pounds. You know what I mean, that they have to service.
I mean, I'm not here to castigate anybody.
I'm not castigating. I'm just trying to figure out
the business decisions they have to make to get through this, because we're all.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm not castigating.
Our wholesalers, have also pivoted quickly. You know, we're lucky enough to be in smaller houses today, where we are typically one of the, if not the number one brand.
Okay.
So that, again, that's been a real lifeline for us is having the attention of the people at the top of those pyramids.
Yeah, right on.
So
it's nice. Chiefs the Budweiser of his distributors.
So we actually did self-distribute in the borough of Manhattan until this past week. Where we consolidated even a little bit further with Serene Craft Distributors, who we really like working with.
Yeah, I love those guys. We have them in Westchester.
Yeah, we still do our own, and we'll continue to do our own for as long as we're able in the Hudson Valley, you know, mm-hmm. from Westchester North to, you know, Poughkeepsie and New Paltz. So we control our destiny in our own backyard. We work with a house that really highly prioritizes us, which is amazing, in New York City. So you know, I've said this a number of times. I think we are in a position that is stronger than a lot of our peers. And, you know, we're lucky. We're lucky to have that today. And
My heart really goes
out to people that don't have, or, you know, this would have killed us if it happened during our startup. Like, we might not have made it. So,
but so part of that is your intentionality from the get-go, right? If people go back to that first episode you were on before you open, with, you know, I don't want to recap your worlds of experience, but with your experience and where you were going and what you want to do with this one, like I said, at the time, a lot of it struck me as, I don't know, I'll say sage because it's a friendly word. So you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't seem how craft was meant to be. But who was I to tell
you?
Well,
I probably told you at the same time. I had scratched a lot of my creative itches up to that point.
But you still had to. We're gonna get all right. So let's switch topics, because that's something I have to hit you up on. Somehow I've become, on one of the many ridiculous Facebook beer groups, I've become the proxy for chief questions.
Oh boy.
And this new
I did
one
not
called,
authorize you as that.
Yeah, I was gonna say the world did, chief. You created
chief, the world. Yeah, no, it's a YEPA group.
Okay.
It's a YEPA group. Okay. It's called Old Money Tickers. And it's a bunch of crotchety old fucks. And somebody opened up two of your beers. I'm sorry to say I wasn't familiar with them per se, although I know I'd had one of them. But they were sours you'd done, I think, at Ithaca.
Sure.
Do you know the beers I'm talking about? They were very well respected, apparently.
Yes.
It's like a blonde or something.
Yes, I'm familiar with.
All right. So somebody tagged me in. Somebody was drinking at Old Money Ticking, and they got super excited. And somebody started bitching, why doesn't Chief make these anymore? And then they tagged me in. And I very carefully responded that the minute you made a beer I didn't love, I'd ask why you weren't making that beer. And bowed out of it, I think, rather gracefully.
Yeah.
But now I'm putting you on the spot here. I've been in the shop. You got cool ass fucking concrete and wood and stuff around.
Yeah, yeah.
Were some of those coming back into your world now that things are settling, or were those for different projects?
For sure. You know that I, you know, we're building another brewery, a much bigger brewery.
Mm-hmm.
That project is just on pause for now. I do not know when it will resume, but we're not writing any POs for anything today. but we have commissioned a really big brew house that is going to be built this year and delivered toward the end of the year. The rest of it, we are going to take as it comes. And, you know, we've acquired a big building in Beacon that you guys are going to visit today.
It was going to be amazing.
It still will be when we do get together there. So as part of that plan, as we play it out, we were going to reinvent our original site as more of an R&D and you know, creativity.
Sour house kind of thing.
I'm not going to say sour house necessarily.
But you were going to sour some shit. Come on, man.
For sure. And we recently hired an old colleague who had been in that role at New Belgium. So we actually are in the middle of developing a legitimate R&D program, which we are still committed to. It's just the timelines on things are changing today. But for sure, we recognize that it's great to have go-to brands that pay the bills. But in order to keep everybody, including our staff, interested in what we're doing, we need to push some levers. And we have a lot of levers to push. So we're kind of establishing the rules around that. We've made some really cool hop forward beers this year, including a very hoppy stout that's entirely made with wheat and oats in our mash filter. So I think we're more likely to continue to push the boundaries way than necessarily with sour beers, though we certainly will make some sour beers.
Okay. Well, that's what the OMT guys wanted to hear, and I didn't want to say for you.
Well, that's not what they wanted to hear.
But you're going to
want to get
a response and put it up on the group.
We focused on flagship beers and brands that are repeatable and drinkable. And that is going to allow us to do some of the more risky stuff.
Yeah.
If that's worth.
Nice. I like it all.
Once we regain our footing and momentum in the future.
All right. So I look at the pandemic models. If we can successfully isolate, which I'm not saying we can, it's feasible.
We might be forced to, by the way. A news alert came through as we're talking here that the President of the United States is considering a mandatory quarantine for our general area right now.
That's not a bad idea. But what I'm saying is, if the quarantine is successful, it's feasible 6 weeks from now we're outside this. If the quarantines are unsuccessful, it's feasible this runs its course through September.
6 weeks is the most optimistic.
6 weeks is as optimistic as you can be. Yeah.
But it's
6 weeks starting from the first successful quarantine day, which we still haven't done.
Sure.
So understood. So what I'm saying is, if things go like they are, this thing will still run its course and should be done September. Those two different prospects, and I'm only asking this because you've got the most time in the beer business, actually in real beer business, right? Not in stock funded. We get billions.
I'm not keeping score.
No, it's not about keeping score. It's perspective. It's perspective.
Facebook groups.
I'm your scorekeeper.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're paying attention, Chief, but I'm clearly your scorekeeper. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you've always worked for small independent places, right? So there's a difference, but you're also the guy with the most tenure at a small independent place level of the people I'm familiar with. That's all I'm saying. But of my group of friends, that's you. So knowing this is not like anything before, but having had lifetime experience of financial downturns and market cracks, what do you think 2021 looks like in craft?
Oh man, I am just rooting like you can't believe for the on-premise to recover. I feel like that is it's just an outlet that is so vital to everybody's livelihood here. It's hard to imagine what next year is really going to look like. I hope it's full of reopenings and celebrations and festivals. But we need to be prepared for every outcome at this point, I think. I hope we don't wind up with less choice out of this.
So I'll jump in here because
I don't want to.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, but cynical audience. There was a quote this week by President Trump that was, restaurants will come back, they might have different owners. And being a cynical guy who pays attention macro rather than micro, my fear is he's dead on right, because places like Yum Brands are the ones who received the stimulus money and come in snatching up liquor license in states like New Jersey, because they're a commodity with a sale value that people with stimulus money can buy. Mm-hmm. So my fear is, coming out of this, people having a hard time, desperate for cash, turn every single one of the 7,000 liquor licenses in New Jersey into a BW3 or Fridays by 2022. I'm hoping that's not true, but that's my cynical case scenario. Because of the way our system is set up, that's a very feasible thing.
And the truth is probably somewhere in between. The truth is somewhere in between, right? Like,
yeah,
it's going to happen, and you know, places that were on tenuous footing going into this are really going to struggle to come out of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully the stimulus works. I mean, I could tell you for sure, my company needs it. Like, we need
it. Oh yeah.
So we all do, Chief. You're not alone in that.
Oh, I know, I know. And that's sort of the only, some of the only solace in this is like, this isn't because of some dumb decision that I made or didn't make.
Yeah.
That everybody is, you know, almost forced into unity on this. So it'll be interesting to see how the three tiers treat each other in recovery from this. It's gonna go a long way. Like we're already getting emails from some of our direct distributed on-premise accounts, you know, asking for forgiveness and, you know, just kind of spelling out that they're just not going to be able to pay for beer they've already bought. And same thing is happening to every wholesaler. Yep. So it's going to be a lot about how we all
figure that out.
Hold each other accountable even for the whole welfare of the system.
That's because
there's a lot of places with outsized influence on the market. A lot of
Yes.
At every tier.
Yep.
So I think it's incumbent on us all to realize that we are a completely interdependent industry. And
all right,
put aside some of the penny stuff.
I think that's very reasonable. So let's talk about per hour tier.
Yeah.
Right? Where you and
we operate in all three tiers.
Well, on a very reduced scale. Very limited in each direction.
Which particular tier are you talking about?
No. Yeah, I'm talking about us in our form of the tier, right? Because without, I don't want to bore the thieves with the minutia, but we aren't really every tier, because if we break a certain threshold, we learn, you know, if we become good at a certain tier, we lose our ability to perform on some of the other tiers, right? Like right now we live in a you're small in everything world where you're allowed to exist in everything world. But the minute you do well in production, sales, or on premise, you immediately lose some of your abilities in another area. So it's not that
as a group, we are a significant player in all of the tiers.
Right. But so what I'm saying is for us, the small brewers, the less than 50,000 barrel a year brewers with tasting rooms and, you know, a small self-distribution imprint. What do you think just give me an example of best behavior coming out of this that those of us that exist in our world can follow? So that the best path is blazed and not figured out after mistakes. What do you foresee being the best path for guys like you and me as far as getting us past that first Jesus fucking Christ, nobody has any money, but it takes money to make money. Humane, what do we do think?
I mean, I think being humane is going to be really important. And, you know, we had to lay off our taproom staff, or all of our part-time tasting room staff, and it was fucking really hard. I think taking care of the little people that are really struggling with this, that are really going to miss rent payments, is going to be important.
It's weird on that. So tell me about this, because here's the weird realization I've had. So when this happened, when this first really got obvious, like it was a Tuesday night here in Jersey where they said all restaurants are closed. We immediately said, well, Jesus, how do we do this and how do we protect our people? And it was made very clear to me that the best way to protect our people was to immediately fire them so they could start unemployment.
The same thing.
And trust that this $600 unemployment, you know, whatever this new unemployment plan is, would happen and they'd benefit from it. And as far as I can tell, that was the right decision at the time. But now if you're seeing a lot of what's coming down for us, the people trying to do the business, a lot of what we're being offered is stipped to being at full employment, which somehow you have to get to before you can get the money without the money to be at full employment. So that's the part I'm trying to figure out right now. But But there was this weird reality where I couldn't believe it. As a guy who never wants to fire anybody and has greatly hurt his business by not firing people, it was made very clear to me that the best thing I could do for my tasting room staff was say, go home today, get on unemployment.
Yeah, we did that same calculus, and it's brutal.
So for right now, we just have to live with it's just brutal. You're telling me to be zen with that. Don't fight it.
Well, I guess my point was, you know, I can only speak for what we, you know, what we hope to do on the back end of this, and that's, you know, recover. You know, like,
yeah, I was gonna say, for me, it's just survive right now. Like, my hope is we survive till we can get active again.
Yeah, have you guys stopped brewing?
No. I've put everything in the, you know, my setup is some 30s and 45s, some 60s and some 90s. I'm brewing everything in 30s. I am trying to make sure we have enough, you know, a 3-month window so that the ones people actually like to drink are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've pushed almost all of our, you know, all the Augie projects off the schedule. But I also sit here. So I've just introduced a new brand, the New Jersey IPA, where I use Kolsch yeast and don't fuck with our water and keep a little bit of bitter, but do a proper big ass high protein hazy with that, which is, you know, it's basically.
What's it called?
It changes every week. It's a different thing every time. It's a brand with extensions, if you will. But immediately when this happened, that beer was coming out of tanks. We just started it this weekend, or we just put one out this weekend called Take That Ride. And you'd love it, Chief. It's got Simcoe, it's got Equinox, it's got Amarillo.
No, Equinox.
Oh, you'll love it. I love Equinox. Why are you mad at Equinox? I was down in Florida and I had a.
I want to know why he's mad at Equinox.
We've really struggled to make beers that we like with that.
I had a Pilsner in Florida that was all Equinox and it tasted exactly like Blue Dream CBD oil. And it turned me back on to Equinox. I haven't put Equinox in everything since I had that Pilsner.
Why don't you just get some Blue Dream CBD oil?
You know that I only know those flavors by familiarity, sir. What was I going to say? So we put that one out, and then I was like, you know what I want to do is I want to turn this into a, because I've never done I've done a lot of black American ales, black IPAs, if you will, but I've never done it with a hazy recipe. And I was like, we should use some, you know, burnt wheat instead of regular wheat, cinnamar it up, do this beer and call it the Black Swan event for this time and place. But getting specialty malts when I'm worried I might not be able to get our everyday malts, you know, adding a few more cakes of various yeasts that we don't need seems foolish. So I'm trying to control those instincts.
Sure.
Well, you know, I really love my Kolsch pitch generations 3 through 8. So I don't want to let it die at generation 4. So I just keep, you know, 30s of boat flipping so that it gets where I love it to be. Those are the decisions I'm making. What about you?
We had as I mentioned, 35% of our revenue at least is shut down. So we cut our production by 25%.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm hearing, you know, we've had a lot of difficult conversations with business partners over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we're hearing from a lot of suppliers that, again, like, it's kind of reinforcing my suspicion that a lot of other places are hit much harder than we are. That most people are not telling them that they're only cutting to 75% of production.
I think like that's right.
Are you brewing? You know, we're brewing 12 times a week instead of 16.
Yeah, I'm brewing 6 instead of 12.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's already a much deeper cut for someone with a model more like yours.
Yeah. Oh, well,
which is an otherwise, we lost, which is an otherwise really viable model, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we lost 70%, but so what I did was cut brewing, let's say 50, but I haven't kegged a beer in 3 weeks.
Sure.
Sure. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I would say our production's at 50%. You know, I mean, I'd say our production's down 75%, but I've cut. But literally, it's so dumb the things you concern yourself with. When it came clear I had to cut production, yeast viability is what I got all obsessed with. You know.
Have either of you guys thought about buying kegs back from accounts? I've heard some brewers are reaching out to restaurants and other accounts that they've already self-distributed or sold kegs to that would otherwise go to waste and are bringing them back and doing crowlers or growler fills or anything else like that. Have you guys thought about that?
We don't do crowlers or growlers anymore. And it's not the right move for us for a number of reasons to pivot that way. I think a lot of our other peers really need that business today to stay open next week. So we're sticking with our program, and you know, we're just starting to hear from our direct customers who are expressing like, I cannot be able to pay for this. So we're sorting through that. It's a lot of difficult decisions. Difficult conversations.
Yeah, so my answer is in line with Chief's. I think our responsibility here is to keep doing what we can to keep ourselves in business, but the first and foremost attention needs to be spent on observing smart quarantine things and getting the world back to normal. So you've got to minimize touching, and growlers and crowlers are touching. So that was one of the first things we stopped, right? On a canning line, there's sanitizer, there's all that, there's rubber gloves, and then those PakTech caps go on and, you know, essentially protect the can. So cans pass every test you need to pass in this world. Growlers and crowlers don't. So we stopped that. Well, not that we ever crowlered, but we stopped growlering right away. And I think if you're a customer, you need to be aware of growlers kind of thing. So that's the first part. For us, it wasn't buying them back. There's a different kind of longevity, and we'll need to reassess. But I would say a keg that was tapped in a bar the Tuesday New Jersey said bars are closed is effectively a bad keg as of today. So we've put a plan in with all of our customers that we are going to swap that keg for fresh.
Oh, that's a good plan.
When things come back to life, we'll show up, we'll clean our line, we'll put a fresh keg where that was, we'll call it a wash, I'll write it off as a loss.
Of course, that fresh keg might already be in your cooler right now.
Well, here's the thing, and Chief, you know this too, an untapped keg has a 3-month window on it.
Sure.
So, like an untapped keg is, I would say it has a 6-month window on it, depending what beer's in it. It could be a year, right? Like that's very safe and sound. And if it's in our cooler straight off the kegging line, it's perfect. But once we push past 3 months, it'll be brew a new batch, swap out the beer and the kegs for fresh beer and do that. But for the first 3 months, if they're sitting on a keg untapped, we'll just swap out, you know, whatever. Everything that was tapped the Tuesday New Jersey shutdown needs to be changed for fresh beer. And that's kind of the first instinct of courtesy I have for our customers and their customers of ours.
That. I think that's a neat solution.
I mean, that way people don't come back from this misery to a bar to have a great time and get a... worst part, Chief,
and that was sort of what I was... thinks
it's going to be greatly overcarbed.
That's sort of what I was trying to sound out earlier. It's going to be about how those relationships between each of the tiers are handled.
Yeah,
during these incredibly stressful times for all three. And then also understand that, like, we're just one of the first industries to get hit. We're far from the only people that are going to be struggling.
I can't imagine what it's like.
There's going to be a whole secondary wave of businesses that are hit by this, right?
Yeah.
We're all in this together, I guess. It's the only way we'll get out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's definitely weird to be in the conviviality business when conviviality is the danger. But yeah, Chief, it sounds, I mean, I think
I was never a hugger. I was never a hugger, so I'm good.
I'm a big hugger, Chief. There's actually nothing I like more than hugging you because it makes you uncomfortable. CBD oil. Yeah, Jack. You can ask Dan Suarez how I am with that CBD oil. Dan Suarez has a big Augie Blue Dream CBD oil story.
I have those somewhere. Yeah.
All right. We should wrap this up. Thieves, hang in there. As you hear, I think this show's a good example of 5 years of stealing beer and 5 years of Chief and weirdest fucking times.
I think it wasn't more fun. I'm sorry, like
I think it averages out to about.
Sorry, it wasn't a more fun conversation. I'm really proud of you guys.
To be fair, you did that last year. Last year, you were so impressed that we'd made it to four. I think we covered that. And you definitely threw a jab at my ribs that made John crack up. So it's all the thieves want out of it. And look, man, I love you.
Thank you, guys.
You sound very tuned into what's going on. And I believe in you. I know not only are you going to get yourself through this, you're going to help me know how to do it.
Yeah.
All right, hey guys, the card got full and we had to swap out, so I'm sure you heard a click break in that.
I'm so embarrassed. This is like, I'm having flashbacks now to all of the shit we gave Justin after Colorado all those years ago. And
don't worry, Justin's so horrible.
It's anyway. Cass's fault.
Well, Cass is the guy who has to fix it, so don't say that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chief was telling everybody how good it's going to be and not to worry, and he was very optimistic at the end there.
Yeah.
And thanks, guys. So I was saying, you know, times are weird, times are tough. A lot of our thieves are not only essential to us, they're essential to the world. You're still working. Take this free time you have if you're not, and write a 5-star review. Get friends to listen to us. Push the message. Be funny.
Write us a letter.
Be funny, be awesome, write us a letter, know who you are. Take this time, go out and, you know, advocate for Steal This Beer. It's the only way we're going to keep alive through this. So, you know, thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for being the best and thanks for doing your best. John, if they want to do any of those things I just said, where do they do it?
I'm told that it's stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com and it's stealthisbeer on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook, which we're trying to be a little bit more active on as we're all in quarantine. Justin is leading afternoon yoga sessions, goat yoga sessions from his apartment in a very hipster move. It's very, very exciting.
He hasn't rolled down that pant leg from the fixie in goat yoga. There's nothing funnier than that.
I think he buys them that way. I think that's how it does. It's like it doesn't actually roll down. Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's it. I wouldn't have guessed that, but that makes sense knowing him.
But yeah, as we're sitting here recording off of our phones and our various equipment, shoot us a letter on Steal This Beer Podcast at Gmail.
Thieves. Fifth fucking anniversary. Nice work, guys.
I think we got at least another 5 weeks in us. So,
by the way, drinking a whole Hunapoo alone in my living room on a rainy Saturday afternoon in quarantine. That was a good choice, people on Facebook who chose it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Get at it.
Cheers.